Let me lead us in prayer. Lord, thank you so much that you have spoken through your word. We pray that we would be good listeners, that you'd help me to speak the truth clearly and faithfully, that you would help us all as we reflect on the resurrection of Jesus to let its implications wash over our lives and transform and change us, both by your word and by your Holy Spirit at work in us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I think oftentimes we Christians keep our Christian thoughts and beliefs quite separate from the rest of our lives and can perhaps be rightly accused of hypocrisy. Sometimes, that's an accusation that often comes to Christians, and I think sometimes it has quite a bit of merit. Do you realise how incredible and perhaps even ridiculous it seems to believe that someone was raised from the dead? Do you really believe that? It seems as though we acknowledge, yes, Jesus rose from the dead, and then shrug our shoulders and get on with our lives. If something so enormous, so incredible has really happened, it ought to turn us upside down and shake us around and change everything about the way we live. It is so significant. If Jesus really did rise from the dead, well, that changes everything. But sometimes as Christians, we say, yes, he rose from the dead. We shrug our shoulders and get on with our lives as if nothing's happened. You may be here today because you always come to church at Easter time and are happy to call yourself a Christian. You may be someone coming along, inquiring and exploring, or you might be someone who's always here. Either way, we need to realise just how significant it is to believe in Jesus' resurrection. I'm not going today to try to prove from the historical evidence that the resurrection occurred, though I think that's important and will be helpful. We have actually a church historian here who could help us through. Colin's visiting. But today what I want to do is to explore with you the huge implications if Jesus did rise from the dead, both for the significance for the Christian faith and for each of our lives. If Jesus really did rise from the dead, then you can't just go on living the way you always have. It means he is Lord of the universe, and we all need to take great heed to what he has to say. We need to listen to and obey our Lord Jesus. It means there will be a resurrection and a judgment to come, and we'd better think seriously and long and hard about how we might prepare and be ready for Christ's return and the general resurrection to come. It also means there is great hope and joy and eternal life available for all who would trust in Jesus. And so we should be shouting from the rooftops that great news that Jesus is risen, and therefore through him as the first fruits, resurrection life is available to all who would trust in him. So there are two primary things that the resurrection demands from us. The resurrection demands that we trust and that we tell. We trust and we tell. That we trust the mighty King Jesus who has conquered death and has power over everything. He's someone to trust, isn't he? And we tell because this is such great news. Death is the great enemy of humanity, the thing that hangs over us all our lives, the thing that is the threat, the thing that takes away our loved ones, the thing. Death has been conquered. What great news. The resurrection demands we trust and we tell. We've come to the end now. This is the final sermon of our 12 weeks looking at Mark's gospel since just after Christmas. And here in chapter 16, we resume after a day's silence. Chapter 15 ended with... I'm in 1 Corinthians, no wonder that's confusing. Chapter 15 of Mark ended with Jesus crucified, his body being placed in a tomb, a stone rolled against it, and the women, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of Joseph, seeing where he was laid. That's Friday night. And then Saturday, the Sabbath passes, and we've come all the way to Sunday. Sunday morning at dawn is where we pick it up in chapter 16. Can you imagine what that long Saturday was like for Jesus' disciples? As they grieved their Lord and mentor, the one they'd been following for 3 years, he's dead. Not only that, he's dead and we abandoned and rejected him in his hour of need. Poor Peter, I denied him 3 times, even though I promised that I'd be committed. I promised that I'd go with him even to the grave. And there, a long Saturday, the disciples would have spent regretting and in sorrow, wallowing in their misery that Jesus has died. Well, the women here in chapter 16 are the same ones who were there when Jesus died at the end of chapter 15. The disciples had all fled, but these were the women who remained. These were his faithful ones. In Mark 16, the women are going to the tomb on the very early morning at dawn because the Sabbath prohibited them from doing this on the Saturday, so they'd come as soon as possible on the Sunday to dress Jesus' body. They were worried about it smelling, decaying. They were going to put nice perfume on there. And you'd have to be pretty devoted to do that for someone, I think. And here they are, in verse 2, very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise. They were on their way to the tomb. But then they realise something in verse 3. Hang on a minute. They're on their way to the tomb. It's like coming all the way to church and forgetting the keys and we all have to stand outside. Hang on a minute. Who will roll the stone away from the tomb? They realise as they almost get there, we're not going to be able to get in and do what we've come here to do. And that reveals something very interesting. These women had no expectation whatsoever that Jesus would rise from the dead. They came fully expecting to find the tomb just as it was when Jesus was laid in there on Friday night, didn't they? And in asking, and they should really have known. As devoted followers of Jesus, they would have heard what he said. Back in chapter 8, verse 31, for example, he began to teach from this that the Son of Man must be killed and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this. In chapter 9, verse 31, Jesus said, the Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of men. They'll kill him and after 3 days he'll rise. And Jesus had clearly predicted not just his death but his resurrection 3 days later. And yet the women were going to the tomb with zero expectation of finding it empty. In verse 4, they finally look up from what they're doing to see the empty tomb. Whoa! What a shock! And as they proceed towards the tomb, they find a messenger, a man in white, come to tell them some great news. Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. He has risen. He's not here. See the place where they laid him? Now, the empty tomb could mean many things, really, couldn't it? If we came along and found, if you came to visit your grandma here in the graveyard outside and found a hole in the ground where you expected to visit her, what would you think? Hallelujah, grandma's risen from the dead. Is that what you'd think? No. Unbelievable. Who has come and dug up grandma? What were they thinking? You would be so angry, so upset. It's highly improbable that someone has actually risen from the dead. And yet the messenger here, this angel, is declaring, he is not here, he has risen. Go and tell the others the good news is what he says to them. The explanation that we give for this empty tomb is absolutely critical. The resurrection is central to the Christian faith. The resurrection is the vindication of Jesus and of everything he said. Without the resurrection, we've got nothing. Listen to these startling words of Paul that were read from 1 Corinthians 15 for us. Paul says, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. The resurrection shows that what Jesus achieved in his sin-bearing death on the cross on Good Friday was effective. He did defeat Satan. He did triumph over him in the cross. He did, in fact, pay the punishment we deserve to make us right before God. Jesus won the battle in his death, and he proved it in his resurrection. The resurrection fulfills all Jesus' predictions and vindicates everything he said. So, if Jesus rose from the dead, we can trust him. We can be completely confident that his sin-bearing death was effective and that his promise of our resurrection life is assured. This is important. Do you have any friends who are all talk and no action? People can talk all they like about something. I could tell you all the right things about mountain bike riding, the gear ratios you should get, the good trails to ride around here. I could tell you the brands to look for. But when I got on the bike and awkwardly pedaled, you can disregard everything I just said, can't you? You can talk the talk, and Jesus said many bold and incredible things. But as he rose from the grave and appeared to many, to his disciples and doubters alike, wow. It sort of makes you go, wow, he rose from the dead. I'm going to go right the way back to chapter 1 of Mark's gospel and read this again and take it a whole lot more seriously, because this guy knows what he's talking about. He is risen from the dead. He has proved who he is. He has vindicated everything he said, and I'm going to listen and take heed. Not only does Jesus' resurrection vindicate what he said and who he is, but it also is the promise of resurrection life for you and for me. Isn't that great news? He is the first fruits, it said in 1 Corinthians 15. He is the one, he's been raised from the dead, and it's that same resurrection power that God raised Christ from the dead, which will be at work in you and I to raise us from the grave, to enter into our eternal life. So the empty tomb is a question. The empty tomb is a challenge to you. What do you make of it? And if with me you agree that Jesus did rise from the dead, have you realized how significant the implications are for your life? Don't just shrug your shoulders and move on as if nothing happened. Either acknowledge that you don't really believe it, or let it reshape and transform and change your life as you read again the words of Jesus in order to trust and obey and follow him more closely. The resurrection changes everything. The resurrection demands that we trust Jesus, listen to what he says, and tell of this good news. Being confronted by the empty tomb and the angel must have been pretty intimidating for the two Marys and Salome as they walked there on dawn of that first Easter day. And they didn't exactly respond with great enthusiasm, did they? They were shocked. They didn't know what to make of it. And did you notice what happens in verse 8? Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone, because they were afraid. What a way to end a story. Why do you think Mark finished his gospel, verses 9 to 20 are more likely an addition from an editor later and probably not part of Mark's original writing, but why would Mark finish his good news about Jesus? This is the great news he wants to present to the world about Jesus Christ, the Saviour, who has died and risen again, and he finishes his story with a bit of an anticlimax, don't you think? Trembling and bewildered, the women didn't do what the messenger had told them and go and tell the disciples. They actually were afraid, and so they went off and told nothing to anybody. Why would he end that way? Well, I have to say, I actually associate with those women. I remember year 11 physics. Mr. Massarella was my teacher. He was a terrible physics teacher, but we had a really fun time together. One time, though, he stood up and he said to the class, "You know, I think it's ridiculous how Christians are all sad that Jesus died when he was 33 years old. 33 was actually the average age people lived to in those days." And he was pretty mistaken about that. Well, but he was mocking Christians, and then he realised it and he pulled himself up and he said, "Oh, that might be offensive to some of you. Are any of you Christians?" What do you think I did in that moment? I froze. Trembling and bewildered, I sat there and did nothing and said nothing to anyone. I look back on that moment with great embarrassment. My friends knew I was a Christian, and I didn't stand up for Jesus in that moment. I did speak to them about Jesus in the playground and at lunchtime, but that was a moment of fear and trembling where, just like the women, I just couldn't stand up. It seems here like the women did exactly the opposite of what they were asked to do and should have done. And I think the way they respond is posed almost as a question to us. How are we going to respond? Are we going to stand up for Jesus, believe in the resurrection, and let the implications of that flow out into our lives? Or, trembling and afraid, are we going to deny the resurrection of Jesus and all its implications for our lives? Hidden in this passage is a message of great comfort for you and me when, trembling and afraid, we don't know what to do, or we freeze and we don't stand up for Jesus. And it comes in two very little words. And those words are, "and Peter." Did you notice what Jesus says to the women? Sorry, the messenger says to the women, "Go tell his disciples and Peter." Did you see how Peter gets a special mention? Why does Peter get a special mention? Think about Peter. He's the one who has denied Jesus three times explicitly, and the rooster crowed, and Mark's made a big deal of that. Peter is the one who, trembling and afraid, rejected Jesus in his hour of need, so that Jesus, alone, abandoned, went to the cross. But just because Peter responded like that doesn't mean Jesus is going to now cast him out. Jesus makes a special mention of Peter. "Go tell the disciples and Peter." Peter is guilty. He's denied Jesus three times, but Jesus still loves and forgives him. Jesus doesn't give up on Peter, and Jesus won't give up on you or me either. So we're left at the end of Mark with an empty tomb and the words of the angel: "He is risen. Go and tell." How will we respond? Will we run away in trembling and fear like the women? Or will we spread the good news of Jesus and live in trust and obedience to a risen Lord Jesus? The resurrection demands that we trust and we tell. We need to lift our eyes up above our day-to-day troubles and activities to listen to Jesus, to anticipate the great day of resurrection and live as if it's coming. Jesus has indeed been raised from the dead, so we can trust and rely on him in everything. We know he is our Lord and King, and that he will raise us from the dead on the last day if we trust and follow him. The resurrection demands we trust and tell. Will you allow your Christian faith, your belief in the resurrection, to impact the rest of your life? Or will you let a wall of separation come up between your religious beliefs and the rest of your life and live like a hypocrite? He has risen. Let's live like it. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for our Saviour Jesus, that he died for forgiveness of sins on the cross for us and rose again, conquering death as the first fruits of resurrection life for all who would trust and believe in him. May we be among those who trust and believe. Lord, we're sorry for the many times we've been trembling, bewildered, and stayed silent. We thank you for your grace and mercy as you showed with Peter, and you display many, many times with us, that you hold firm to us even in our faithlessness. Help us, Lord, to maintain faith. Be at work in us by your Holy Spirit to help us to live out the implications of the resurrection of Jesus for our own lives. And we pray this in his name. Amen.